This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77
WC. Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Moreno. If you've listened to this program, I think you know the lengths that I've gone to feature all sorts of perspectives on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I understand that people are very passionate about this and that they have a lot of views, and I think all of those views have a right to be heard. And wherever you come down on this issue, or any other issue for that matter, you absolutely have the right to protest. However, what I am totally sick of these pro-Palestinian protesters doing is acting like criminals. No, not like criminals, acting as criminals, which is what they did today or yesterday, Monday afternoon, in blocking the Brooklyn Bridge. They were moving through vehicular traffic on the bridge at 3:30 in the afternoon, and the protesters started lighting what appeared to be traffic flares amidst traffic right on the bridge. It was one of several similar protests nationwide. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like. We also saw about a dozen protesters stop westbound traffic on the Hamilton Fish Newburgh Beacon Bridge over the Hudson River. This is disgusting. This is dangerous. This does nothing to win people over to your cause. And unfortunately, we have seen instances over the years where no matter what the cause, law enforcement really lets these people off with a slap on the wrist. If there are arrests, too often the criminal charges are dropped or the criminals are allowed to plead to minor offenses and pay a tiny fine. Now, they don't care about that. It's a small price to pay for the excitement and status of participating in such an event. The answer is really what Professor John Bonzoff has talked about on this program. When protesters cross the line and engage in activities which clearly constitute crimes, the victims of those crimes, whether you're someone that was stuck in traffic on the bridge or someone similarly affected, you need to bring a civil tort action, or using the phrase that Professor Bonzoff himself popularized, sue the bastards, where the burden of proof is much less than in a criminal case, and the process is controlled by the victims and their attorneys, not public officials who are subject to political pressure and won't want to be seen as clamping down on a protest for XYZ cause that they may perceive to be against their political interests. Sue these criminals.
Beam me up.
To be continued.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
Tomorrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Moreno. Well, it is the end of an era in New York radio and in baseball history. Longtime Yankees announcer John Sterling, no stranger to New York radio airwaves, has announced that he is going to be retiring as the Yankees play-by-play announcer, effective immediately. This is not a total surprise. John Sterling is 85, and honestly, you could tell he's lost a step or two from where he was even just a few years ago. I've heard he's had some issues with his vision, and that obviously makes calling baseball games difficult. But he called 5,060 consecutive Yankee games from 1989 to 2019. And he also had an incredible career in New York radio, even beyond the Yankees. Used to work at this station, but from 1975 through 1980, he announced the Nets and Islanders games on WMCA, on WVNJ, on WOR-TV. And for a while, he did a terrific sports talk show on WMCA back in the 70s. So this is a man who meant a lot to Yankee fans. Yankee fans really love a homer, and all of New York really loves colorful personalities and someone that understands that radio is an entertainment medium. If you don't listen to baseball on radio, or if you're not familiar with John Sterling, here's a little snippet of why Yankee fans loved him so much.
It'll be a 3-2. Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone! Short way in the right field seats. Burn, baby, burn! And the Yankees tie the ball game at one.
The man was an incredible character and an incredible broadcaster. He loved radio, he loved baseball, and he loved New York. I hope he enjoys his retirement, gets to kick back and relax a little bit.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
I have said to you again and again that I think the scourge of these e-bikes, specifically the lithium-ion batteries that are in these e-bikes, specifically the Fugazi lithium-ion batteries that are in these e-bikes, are incredibly dangerous. We've already seen lives lost and many fires began because of these batteries. Well, now, the fire department here in New York is making its first ever criminal arrest of an e-bike shop owner for unsafe storage of batteries. Five marshals arrived at the electric bicycle shop in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and arrested and handcuffed the store owner who had faced repeated civil summons. Now, I am not for making small business owners' lives tougher. I am not for burdening small business owners with greater regulation and things of that nature. However, if you're going to be warned again and again that what you're doing is dangerous, illegal, and improper, and you keep doing it, you're damn right you should be arrested. I completely agree with the message here from FDNY Chief Marshal Dan Flynn.
Go there four times, you're not going to take the steps. We told you that it was reckless, and you're not doing anything to change your ways, then you may be subject to arrest.
He's exactly right. I hope that more people that engage in this kind of conduct are arrested. And I hope just seeing this shop owner arrested leads other shop owners that are selling these incredibly dangerous batteries. I hope it leads them to think twice and stop doing it. This is a banner day, though. This is the first time the department has used criminal charges against those violating laws related to e-bike batteries. Until now, the FDNY and the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection have strictly relied on hitting these store owners with civil penalties, and in most cases, those only carry minimal financial penalties. The arrest indicates that the fire department's increasing frustration, which is shared by me, in its efforts to end a disturbing trend that has has skyrocketed since the number of micro-mobility devices mushroomed during the pandemic, they're not playing around. And I think this is great news. I want to give a shout out as well to the FDNY commissioner, Laura Kavanaugh, who I am sure okayed this change in policy.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
A few days ago, I told you about this new absurd process that the mayor's office is asking all city council members and other elected officials to adhere to. Essentially, he wants, this new policy is requiring elected officials to complete an online form to meet with city agency heads. You want to meet with the head of the Parks Department or the head of DEP or the head of film and TV, whatever. You have to fill out an online form to meet with them, because this is exactly what city government needs, is more bureaucracy. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And I don't typically agree with the city council speaker, Adrian Adams, but on this one, I think she's absolutely right. She said last week that she's telling her members to just ignore it, just to continue meeting with whomever you can to try and get answers for your constituents. So the mayor was asked about this on Friday morning in an interview with Pix 11 as he was trying to defend this bizarre and absurd new policy of his requiring council members, as well as state and federal lawmakers, to complete an online form to meet with city agency heads. I mean, imagine that. You're the congressman representing New York City, and you have an important question regarding funding for the police department because you're negotiating something in Washington. Before you can talk to the police commissioner, you need to fill out an online form. What a joke. And the mayor, in defense, basically said, well, if you're a constituent, you don't just walk into a council member's office. This is what he said.
You don't just walk into a council person's office. There's a process they have in place to meet with them. You don't walk into your doctor's office. There's a process to meet with them. We just created a process that can be more fluent and easier for everyone to do.
This is absolutely absurd. I don't know if every single one of the 51 members of the city council allow people to just walk into their office without appointments, but the overwhelming majority of them, Democrat and Republicans, do. I worked in a city council member's office, and this was absolutely how the majority of constituents interacted with our office. Additionally, the form in question, which is being dubbed the Elected Officials Agency Engagement Request Form, my goodness, does not apply to walk-ins, but rather a variety of meetings elected officials often request with commissioners and senior administration officials. Makes me wonder what kind of a state senator this guy was.
Beam me up!
To be continued.